if we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
Bob France Authority on AM 1420. The Answer.
Hour number two underway now, 8 minutes past 10 o'clock. Good morning. Thanks for being with us as we continue on this Free for All Friday, the 30th, and yes, the penultimate morning of the month of October in the year of our Lord 2024. Days from now, we will decide whether or not we are devoted to the three C's of capitalism, constitution, and country, not necessarily in that order, or if we are ready for that steep, steep, steep decline into socialism and communism. It is literally that simple, and it is every bit that serious. One of the things that we are seeing right now, as an example of what is to come, but on a far grander scale, is censorship. Censorship and suppression of your free speech rights, your rights to free speech and expression, and other rights as well. But specifically, we're going to focus on that right now. 2 days ago on Capitol Hill, the Senate committee called the CEOs and owners of Twitter, Facebook, and Google onto the Hill virtually, of course, because of the Chinese coronavirus, and grilled them on the obvious that conservative-minded individuals and organizations are being censored and or suppressed in some form or another, be it through algorithms, be it through actual moderators choosing what to blanket with the dreaded misinformation cover, or to delete accounts, or to suspend accounts, or to use even more nefariously the shadow ban, in which people's reach is limited. People who used to reach, you know, 5 to 10,000 people per tweet or message are reaching 5 to 10 people because they have shadow banned them, in which nobody even realizes that has been done. Followers have been taken away. In other words, influence of those that they do not agree with ideologically has been limited. That is going on right now on this scale. Imagine what it will be like if a Democratic-controlled Senate joins a Democratic-controlled House and has the rubber stamp of a Democratic president of the United States. You can only imagine what is going to happen to conservative voices at that time. Literally an assault on the First Amendment, the likes of which we have never seen. And very precious few organizations exist to defend the First Amendment. This is one, Citizens for Free Speech. I've told you about them before, and you've heard me talking with the executive director and founder of CFFS, Patrick Wood, before he joins us right now on AM 1420, The Answer. Patrick, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Bob. Good to be with you.
Always good to talk to you. I wanted to give a thorough backdrop of what is going on right now. But, Pat, what prompted me to reach out to you for this conversation is more than just the Twitter, Google, and Facebook massive online platform suppression and censorship of speech. You wrote an article in which you posted on the citizensforfreespeech.org website pointing to some game changers. It's not just the massive platforms that are silencing people's ideas based on their own ideologies. It goes much, much deeper than that. Tell us some of the other things that you have kind of collectively described as technological book burning. What's going on, Patrick?
Well, when people are censored from expressing their views and ideas, it's coming now from top to bottom, all the way through the information supply chain. We We always think typically of Twitter or Google or Facebook because they're always in the news. They're always the ones that get hauled up in front of Congress. But other platforms are dropping people out like flies as well. You got Vimeo, for instance, the big video platform that's supposed to be uncensored. It's not anymore. They're dropping people out and deleting videos. We had one of our videos deleted from Vimeo. Never even got an email from them. It's just gone. PayPal, the giant payment processing service, is selectively dropping people out. They're just kicking people out of the PayPal infrastructure. Laura Loomer is a good example of that. All of her finances from her political campaign and from her other activism activities went to PayPal, where she directed people to give contributions and stuff. PayPal just said, you're gone, and she had to find something else. Visa, MasterCard have been dropping people out of the system. This really hurts because this is the money. This is where people get the financing in order to continue their activities. So this is a kind of censorship that's a little different, but it's just as effective. You cannot run without money. Then we heard the other day, as
Pat, if I may, Patrick Wood, before you go on to the others, I'm reading your article as you kind of list these things. When it comes to Visa, MasterCard, it says you wrote that these have terminated services with clients it deems are spreading false information. I think it's important that we drill down on who is on the staff or in the employ of Visa, MasterCard that is in the all-knowing, omniscient position of being able to know what's false information and what isn't, so much so that they would terminate contracts or services, through the Visa, MasterCard banks. I mean, do they have a staff of experts in every field, from medicine to political to science to whatever? You know, how are they, and really any of the organizations you just listed, how are they in a position to determine what's false information and what isn't false information? That's what makes this so dangerous.
I believe that most all of these organizations rely on outside parties, the quote-unquote fact-checkers that are advising companies like Facebook and Twitter and so on. They're not all just internal censorship in most cases. They get their touchstone from outside third-party services that make it their business to censor people. I've had that kind of censorship myself for Technocracy.News, my other professional website. And the fact-checkers wrote me and said, we want you to disclose this, this, and this to us. I told them to take a flying leap. And they wrote an article up stating that Technocracy News was full of false news and blah, blah, blah. And then after that service took it, a whole bunch of others followed suit, basically just parroted the same thing. So now I got the reputation, anybody that references any one of those sites, oh, yeah, Technocracy News, we know all about them. They're all screwed up. And this is what they do.
It's unbelievable.
It's a circular thing and group thing. But everybody basically is using the same kind of methodology. They don't maintain internal staffs. They rely on these outside parties. And in many cases, by the way, they're staffed by low-level people who just are there kind of like telemarketing company. You know, they're just there punching the keys. But they can come up, when they come up with a good spin on you, the spin sticks, and you have no way to refute it.
And each of these third-party, quote-unquote, fact-checkers just happen to be ideologically on the same plane, and they all agree what is fake and what isn't based on that ideology and their ability to censor people. And like you said, affect their financials, affect their ability to generate income and to fund their operations are all impacted by these third-party, like-minded, quote-unquote, fact-checkers. I apologize for the interruption. You were in the middle of the list. Let's continue. What other examples beyond the giant social platforms of Facebook and Twitter, et cetera, are we seeing censoring and suppressing speech?
Boy, I was shocked the other day to find out that Verizon, the big cell phone provider, is in the business now of blocking texts that are sent out by one organization to other people or, one individual to other people. And a large health freedom organization, I won't mention the name on the air, but a well-known health freedom organization that had a practice of sending out text messages to its members Verizon decided to not allow them to send text messages to those users, and boom, they were just shut off. They couldn't do it.
And, did they shut off their Verizon accounts, Patrick Wood, of citizensforfreespeech.org, or did they just block those texts from going through?
They blocked those texts from going through. That's the extent of it right now.
So the real issue here is, number one, is what you just said, that they blocked certain texts from going through. But the first one has to be, and this is something I did not know, is that they're reading your texts. I just thought that Verizon or AT&T or all the different companies that provide cellular service provided the fields for you to send messages, text messages to private individuals or whomever that you wish. Did you know that your text messages were being monitored by Verizon to the point where if they see something they don't like, they will block those texts from going through? Because this is all news to me as well, Patrick.
It is, and I have not noticed that before. This is the first time I've ever heard of this. It doesn't surprise me. We know, for instance, that AT&T has been monitoring, traffic and internet traffic for years, in cahoots with the NSA, I might add. But I didn't know that Verizon was in this practice of doing this, but obviously they are. And just reading or monitoring text is one thing, but banning them is another thing, because you pay for the service in the first place, and it's person-to-person communication. And I think probably the next thing that's going to come is that they will shut off the voice service and say, if you abuse our platform talking about bad, bad things, then we're just going to shut your phone service off. And they're almost, they're half the way there right now, aren't they?
I'm mind blown by this, Patrick Wood. This is incredible to me, to think that when you think you are sending private text messages to another individual, whether you're just a person or whether, as you say, it's an organization sending information to you, to their members, the idea that these are being read by other people is you know, now we're talking about rights to privacy being violated. And then, yes, in addition to violating your right to privacy by reading your stuff, we don't like your stuff, now we're going to violate your free speech and expression rights by stopping you from sending it. I mean, we're talking straight up 1984 style stuff here, Patrick, are we not?
It really is, because when people get canceled, as we say, the kind of shut out of the system, they disappear from view. After a while, if they stay disappeared, nobody will remember they even existed. This is the scary thing. This is exactly what 1984 was about, was writing people out of history as if they never existed. I put a link up on this article that you referred to on Citizen for Free Speech that links to an extensive list of censored people and organizations in America in recent months. There's at least, there's over 300 people, individuals, et cetera, that you'd recognize. And you look at this list and you go, wow, this is the core of, certainly the core of alternative media, certainly the core of alternative news that's more factual than the other side. And these people are just being dropped out like flies. And we're talking about major people. Everybody would recognize if you saw their name right now on this list.
Mm-hmm.
But I was struck as I looked at some of these names. I remembered them from, say, a year or 2 years ago. And all of us, and now I look at the name and I go, dang, I haven't seen or heard anything from these people in probably months or years.
And the reason for that is they have been effectively canceled because the type of suppression we're talking about. And for those who don't know this, and again, I want to point people, and I have to Facebook post this myself as well, to the Citizens for Free Speech website, which is citizensforfreespeech.org. If you are on that, or if you get an opportunity to log on to that, go to the blog tab at the very top and look at the first article, the most recent blog, the one that Patrick is talking about right now, about technological book burning. Within that article, that blog post, you will find a link to what he is talking about. And it's a website called Winston84. A project of the Center for American Greatness. Winston referencing, of course, Winston Smith, the protagonist in the 1984 book by George Orwell. The book written by George Orwell in the 1940s about entitled 1984. And this, of course, is what Patrick is referring to. The quote, "And if all others accepted the lie which the party imposed, if all records told the same tale, then the lie passed into history and became truth." And this is what they are doing, is trying to erase all of the truths that all of these people listed on this website have told in order that their own lie will be advanced as the only tale that that is being told. Patrick Wood, hang with me for a short time out here. I want to get a few more thoughts from you on technological book burning as we continue on AM 1420 The Answer. Okay, 1026 now. We continue on AM 1420 The Answer with my friend Patrick Wood. Patrick is the founder and executive director of an extraordinarily important organization called Citizens for Free Speech. Full disclosure, I work with Patrick in this endeavor as a communications director because I am very dedicated to its mission, and that is to protect and defend our First Amendment rights. And we're talking about how under assault they are, not just by big tech in terms of Facebook, Twitter, and the social media platforms, but by also smaller tech, if you will. And Patrick, your article on citizensforfreespeech.org is what we have been discussing, in which you talk about technological book burning that we didn't even know was going on. We knew about the Facebook and the big tech. Let's talk, you, I think your last one was Verizon and cell phone providers, cell phone service providers. What else do you have in this list?
Well, you know, the organizations that deliver things like UPS and the post office and so on, they also apparently, I mean, this is not really proven quite yet, but I talked to people who have been very concerned about things that are disappearing from the mail and disappearing from UPS. There was just a story in the news cycle about a UPS package that was delivered with very sensitive documents on the Biden scandal to Joe Biden. Yeah, you know, the big Fox guy.
Tucker Carlson, you're talking about,
yeah. Yeah, Carlson. The documents went missing and never showed up on time. They're overnight delivery, and UPS was called out on the carpet on it, and mysteriously, after an extensive search, they said, they found the documents and finally gave them to them, but somebody along the way had snatched the documents out of the UPS delivery, and I guess was just going to maybe destroy them. Who knows?
Well, and you know, the missing part of that story that Tucker talked about last night, just to kind of put a cap on this, Pat, is that that package was finally delivered. It was finally found, but it had been opened and some documents had been removed. So we are talking about nefarious, you know, it's one thing, you know, to delete, you know, text messages and some of the other things you're talking about. Now we're talking about physical documents we can't even trust that they're going to get from here to there without some sort of tampering, again, limiting our speech. What else you got?
That's right. And, you know, we have the famous story of the Internal Revenue Service during the Obama administration that meddled with conservative groups and Tea Party groups by refusing to issue nonprofit status to these organizations that wanted to achieve that. It's the right of every citizen to do that if they want. But the IRS just flatly denied approval to many, many organizations during the Obama administration. Then you have Internet service providers now are meddling with the traffic on the Internet, and this includes email delivery. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to several people over the last year that cannot get or do not get emails from certain people that they expect to get emails from. And it's not part of their spam filter. It just, the email never shows up in the first place to their computer, which means that somebody along the way has X'd out that email and just vanished it into thin air. I'll give a warning on all this. As we go through all these things, you see this is a very comprehensive, display of shock and awe, really, on censorship. The last man standing is conservative talk radio. I just give a warning for that because everything else seems to have been compromised at this point. The money, the social media, the search engines. The only thing left standing that is a voice that reaches the American people relatively unfettered is conservative talk radio. And I would suggest that the attack is going to be underway soon. I just watch your back because it's coming. And we need to make sure that it does not happen when the attack finally comes.
Pat, you just crossed over into territory that I really want to discuss. I normally don't do a third segment like this, but can you hang on through our news break here and let's explore that a little further? I find it very important.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Thank you. Patrick Wood is the executive director and founder of Citizens for Free Speech, which is online at citizensforfreespeech.org. And the point that he just made is extraordinary, and we do need to explore it further. Stay here on AM 1420, The Answer.
There are two sides to every story. There's the mainstream media side, and then there's the truth. You are experiencing the truth. The Bob France Authority on AM 1420. The Answer.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what we're trying to do, is sort out truth from fiction. And truth is under assault. Quite frankly, truth is under assault, particularly if you are right of center on the ideological scale and you are outspoken. You are not allowed to present truth. And that's the subject of Patrick Wood's blog post at citizensforfreespeech.org. If you just tuned in, Patrick is the executive founder and, or excuse me, the executive director and founder of CFFS. And he joins us. He wrote a blog post called Technological Book Burning Intends to Destroy Nations, Especially America. Technological book burning means just what it sounds like. Essentially erasing thought that is deemed to be inappropriate for mass consumption. They used to just burn books in the town square, and now it's about deleting comments that they don't feel other people should read. So we've looked, Patrick, at everything from the big tech social platforms to the video services like YouTube and Vimeo, to the financial services like Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, to the communications services like Verizon and other cell phone providers, to the government, as you pointed out with the IRS. Free speech is under attack in all of those places because it can be censored by moderators or algorithms. You made a comment before the break, which is why I wanted to keep you on, about the one place that they can't just delete our thoughts and delete our messaging, and that is through conservative talk radio like this. Can you expand upon that, Patrick?
Well, I certainly can. I believe that absolutely at this point, that the only people that can speak freely are the people who are on conservative talk radio. Well, that includes other talk radio platforms perhaps too, because not all non-conservative sites are completely off the wall. But what's happened in other countries, and some countries in Europe and Canada in particular, the government there has passed laws that regulate hate speech. And if anybody in a public platform, whether they be a pastor in a church or a talk radio person on the air, says certain things, they will be subject to being arrested and tried, convicted, and potentially put in jail. This is probably the next attack that's going to come in America. The idea that the government will step in and define what hate speech is, what constitutes a crime, and what the penalty will be. And you know, if that happens, that the left will step up to that plate and start pointing the finger at every single thing people like you and others like you bring up on the radio. No, you can't talk about that. Oh, you said the bad word. We're gonna call everybody, write everybody in your orbit to get you fired. We're going to dox your address and stuff so people can go protest at your house. We're gonna drive you crazy because you violated that hate speech law.
That stuff's already going on, Pat. That part is already going on. The left and their cancel culture, they're already doing that with conservative reporters, conservative bloggers, conservative talk shows, et cetera, et cetera. They're already doing that. Tucker Carlson has had mobs outside of his home marching on his sidewalk and shining lights and so forth. They're already doing that to conservative-minded individuals. What I'm concerned about is what you said at the beginning there, when if the anti-First Amendment crowd, meaning the Democrat Party and its followers, gain a significant majority of power, that they're going to stop, not, you know, they're not going to stop at just protesting these individuals, doxing them and so on. They're going to outlaw their shows. If they can decide online what is, quote, disinformation or misinformation because somebody posted some science that does not go along with the accepted orthodoxy of climate change, if they can call that misinformation and delete it, if they can do it on the online digital platforms, disinformation about masking, for example, as other people see it, then when will they say that can't hit the airwaves either? And that's the real danger here, and that's the part that I really want to focus on. When you talk about conservative talk radio being the next target, I totally agree. They're going to do the same type of banning of quote-unquote misinformation. They may not call it hate speech, but they'll call it misinformation in the same way that they do online.
That's right. And the really scary thing is that this is the last frontier. Everything else has already been compromised, and it's going to be very difficult to uncompromise it. And companies like Facebook and Twitter and so on, they're not going to respond to what the legislature says or to what judges say. They're just going to keep doing what they're doing. We can't, as people, break their hold because they're outside of the political process altogether. But when as and if conservative talk radio is bridled, that will be the last form of communication that American people will hear. All the voices and things, issues we're talking about now will be gone. They will not be discussed in public anywhere, whether it be in print, whether it be speeches, et cetera, or on talk radio. That means that we need to protect conservative talk radio at all costs at this point, and spare no expense or spare no effort to make sure that either the government doesn't step in or some other third party step in and short circuit conservative talk radio.
Patrick Wood is the executive director and founder of Citizens for Free Speech, online at citizensforfreespeech.org. I would say the two things we can do to stop that are, one, vote and stop that supermajority from happening, that full single-party power of Democrat control from happening. Get out there and vote. Do not allow the Senate to fall into the hands of these people that would challenge and try to alter or destroy conservative talk radio, as Patrick just detailed. And then, of course, the presidency as well. That's the ultimate of fail-safe or firewall, if you will, that veto of such ideas of censoring free speech on the radio. Pat, that's choice one, which is vote. Choice two is, if we lose the vote, we have to support organizations like ours, like CFFS, because it's going to be one of the only things that we have left to fight back against this censorship and the suppression. We're already doing what we can to fight back against the online, and as we talked about, the financial services, the video sharing, et cetera, et cetera. But what can and what are the plans of Citizens for Free Speech, groups like ours? Hopefully there will be others inspired by us, over 20,000 members strong now, over 2,000 of them right here in the state of Ohio, which is fantastic. But what are the plans for citizens and citizen activist groups like this if we lose that vote, and if they do start coming for more than just our technological books, but our spoken word books, meaning the conservative airwaves you refer to?
Well, that's right. And honestly, I'm not certain that that either one of the candidates wins this particular national election. Most of the issues we're talking about here are not going to go away. They're systemic at this point. And there's no political will. It's not enough political will to stop it. But having said that, Citizens for Free Speech has come to the point where we realize that it's not an issue of just educating people anymore. There's been enough education over the years, and enough people know what's going on. The only issue now is, what will they do about it? This is where activism comes in. And activism is not a dirty word. It doesn't mean you're going to go out and, you know, burn down stores and stuff like that. It means that you will take an active role in your community to speak out against this stuff and to begin to change the culture in your own community through your own leaders in that community that, by and large, you have elected anyway, and to get involved, get a seat at the table, and root this stuff out from the very lowest level upwards. This, I believe, is our only hope at this point. Changing the national scene and the national structure is going to be almost impossible at this point. But changing communities from the bottom up is entirely possible and really the only way to fight this at this point, but it's going to take a massive effort across the country of local activism for ordinary citizens to get involved and say, we're not putting up with this anymore.
Patrick, let's talk about getting more of those activists ready to go. And I'm so glad you point out, activism does have kind of a dirty word connotation, you know, because what we see in Philadelphia the last three nights have been, you know, activists, Antifa activists, Black Lives Matter activists, you know, committing violent acts, committing vandalism and so forth. It's very dangerous. And we think about activist organizations. They don't always have to be negative, and they don't always have to be violent. Sometimes they can be very, very uplifting, and sometimes they can be very effective by just using voices, which is what we are talking about. Now, in the few short months that CFFS has been around since it was founded, since you founded it in this past spring, it has grown, as I noted, to over 20,000 members. We need to double that and then double that and then double that, because you're right. All across this country, we need more and more people to be active in trying to save the last bastions of free speech and to restore those that have been withdrawn from us by government. So how can people who are interested in becoming activists and becoming members of Citizens for Free Speech and to engage in this extraordinarily important activity, how do they do it?
All they need to do is come to our website, citizensforfreespeech.org, that's all spelled out, and simply join. There is no cost to join, but put your name on the line and stand with us to make a statement, you know, let other people know that you're involved as well, to make a statement that you are not going to allow the disappearance of free speech and the First Amendment in America. And secondly, we provide a number of tools, and we have more on the way that we're crafting up right now, that will help people to be better spokesmen, if you will, in their own local community to spread this message that we will not tolerate the loss of our First Amendment, period. We will not. And we're talking about free speech, but it goes way beyond that. Freedom of religion is a big thing. Churches are being shut down across the country. In California, for instance, they're not even allowed to sing in church anymore. This is absolutely insane. But, the whole spectrum of the First Amendment is under attack. There's a lot of work to be done. And pick your area that you want to work in and then go out and work at it and say, look, you know, if it's educating your pastor, go educate your pastor. If it's talking to your city council, get out there and talk to your city council. We want to help people achieve what they need to achieve in their local community. And most people tell us that, well, we just don't know what to do. Well, we do. We'll show you what to do, and we'll help you do it.
Training is provided. Organizational tools are provided. It is all very, very important. It is all very, very, well explained as well. If you become a member and join our volunteer meetings and join in other aspects of what we do and what we are encouraging more and more people to do. So share this information with friends. If you're listening right now and if you have not yet gone on to be, it's free, by the way, to become a member, right, Patrick, at citizensforfreespeech.org? Totally free.
Yep.
It's free. You will enter your information, but understand that it will not be shared or sold. You will not be getting a bunch of spam email or other things from other organizations. We share our information with no one, but by all means, get to citizensforfreespeech.org. People tell me all the time, Patrick Wood, as we wrap here, how important my show is. And I say that not to be braggadocious or self-congratulatory, but people tell me all the time, thank God you're there. We need your voice. And I know they say this to people like me all across the country. And if our voices are not heard, and the opportunity for other voices to call in and be heard, if those things are taken away, technological book burning becomes spoken word burning. And then we are all really, truly in a place I don't think we can crawl out of. So that's why it's so important. Get to citizensforfreespeech.org, become a member, and join our cause. Patrick Wood, Executive Director and Founder of Citizens for Free Speech, thank you for shining the spotlight on all of this, and thanks for going over time. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure, Bob.
Thank you, sir. 10:50. Let's get new, or not news, rather. We'll get our final time out here and come back with a few phone calls to wrap it up on AM 1420, The Answer. Okay, 10:55, final segment of the morning. Let's get a couple of phone calls in from TJ in Cleveland first. Hi, TJ, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, Bob, the people of Ohio need to call this Sherrod Brown and get his take on things. You know, his party's talking about eliminating fracking, the Electoral College. These are things that directly affect Ohioans. This guy hasn't said anything. I want to know what he thinks about court stacking, fracking, making Puerto Rico and Guam, states. What does he think about this? How come he doesn't answer these questions? Now, the Ohio news media is always on Portman, but they never say nothing, you know, to Sherrod Brown. He's a lot like Joe Biden. He lives in his bunker, and he comes out every now and then to give a rubber stamp vote for his party. Now, these issues the left is talking about is are directly going to affect the people of Ohio. He has an obligation to answer these questions. And the people in this state ought to start calling his office and demand that he come out and answer these questions. Does he support these lunacy policies, or doesn't he?
Well, you know as well as I do, he doesn't have to say squat because he's not up for re-election this time around. You know, so he's safe for a little while longer. All he's got to do is sit there with his cushy seat and not say anything controversial to get himself in trouble. If he was up for re-election, there might be a challenger saying, how do you feel about this? What is your stand on that? And so on and so forth. But obviously, he doesn't have to do that right now. And you know what, TJ, and thanks for the call, my friend. You know as well as I do, even if he did have something to say, he would absolutely play the Joe Biden role. I'll tell you after I'm elected. I'll tell you how I feel about court packing later. I'll tell you how I feel about fracking later, et cetera, et cetera. Or he'll say one thing to one audience and a different thing to a different audience. So just expect that from Sherrod Brown when he does have to answer the questions. I agree with you, by the way. I'd like to hear him say something, but he doesn't have to because his job isn't on the line right now. Let's go to Wally in Brooklyn on AM 1420, The Answer. Hello, Wally, go right ahead.
Hi, Bob. Hey, I was just wondering if there was any correlation between everybody getting the flu shot recently in the last few months and now the spike in the COVID cases as far as testing goes. I went to Southwest General Hospital the other day because I needed to have a test run on something else. And while I was there, I looked at the COVID testing line, and there was not one person or one car there.
Ghost town.
And I'm like, yeah, it was a ghost town. And I'm like, really? I said, if all these people are getting tested, why are there no people here? And so I really think the numbers, of course, are being, you know, manipulated, definitely.
Yeah, they're being manipulated and they're being inflated. You're 100%. Thank you, Wally, for the call. You're 100% correct. And we have seen countless examples of that, as I've detailed, in fact, a couple earlier this week. Do not trust it. There is a reason and there is a method for what they are doing. And it has nothing to do with health and it has nothing to do with truth. Thank you, Wally. Lisa in Medina, AM 1420, The Answer. Hi, Lisa, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to reconfirm what Patrick said. Just yesterday, I confirmed with a friend. We met up and showed each other our cell phones, and things that I sent did not get to him and vice versa. And a couple weeks ago with another gal, we did the same thing. So why that's happening, you know, is very interesting. But I want to go back to what you were talking about with the violence and knives and so forth.
You got about 20 seconds, Lisa. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, gosh. So the smashing whiteness in the classroom, if folks could look that up, I'm so grateful that OD ODE has taken it down. Paolo said that they took it off the website. But what level of incompetence, like, let something like that get on? You've got to look up the anti-racist allyship starter pack. I mean, there is so much stuff on anti-police, and this is stuff that,
Lisa,
you know,
I'm going to have to ask you to call me back on Monday with the rest of that information, because we are out of time. Mike Gallagher's next. Be safe. Be free this weekend. We'll see you Monday.